Kenny Lofton gets the ball down. He can pull it. That's his long ball. Down and in.
Driven into right center field. Erstad says he has it. The Angels, world champions.
This week in
Gregory Polanco.
Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
QT.
Where were you going? Who were you going with?
It's me, Ali Chinese. He was on a quest.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to I Left My Wallet with Greg Polanco. I'm Antonio the Promise Thomas, and I want to thank you for tuning in today because we are talking some baseball with Joey Ryan. Yes, that Joey Ryan. He does other things than wrestle everywhere and flip people with a certain part of his body, his genitalia. He's a huge baseball fan, particularly a California or Los Angeles Angels fan. Are they the California Angels? Are the Anaheim Angels? The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? Now they're the LA Angels. I've lost track, but he's a big Angels fan. We're going to talk some baseball in general, but mostly some Angels talk. Football season is almost underway. It is, I think it's, 2 weeks away from the football season. And we started last week with our first fantasy football primer with SiriusXM and Bleacher Report writer Matt Camp. Hope you all enjoyed that. Got some really good feedback on that. And we're going to continue as the season gets closer and throughout the season with some different people, different workers, different fantasy analysts, and of course, the one constant will be our very own Big Vinny V, Vincent Verhey, talking a whole lot of football. And speaking of football, before we get into my talk with Joey Ryan, I had my first fantasy football draft this past Sunday. And this is my only live draft where we all meet in person and we all draft, for 3, 4, 5 hours, however long it takes. My mantra when we're live drafting is, everyone has a few beverages. Everyone is, feeling pretty good, having a good time. I say, take your time. There's always those people that are, you're in the 14th round and they're like, just make a pick, get it over with. Come on. You're going to release them anyway. No, take your time. It's once a year. In some cases, it's twice or three times or four times a year, depending on how many live drafts you have. But have fun. Who cares if it takes 7 hours? Because it's once a year, and I take my time. I'm not that guy that, is an asshole and takes 5 minutes in between picks. But I enjoy the camaraderie of a live draft more so than just the online draft. And I had a good time. This draft, this past Sunday, went by in under 3 hours. I had the second pick. I took Le'Veon Bell. Coming back in the second round, I grabbed Jordan Howard. I like workhorse running backs. It's a PPR league. So with Le'Veon Bell, obviously, if he stays healthy, you're getting like 1.5 players. Then with Jordan Howard, I really like what I'm hearing out of the Bears camp with Matt Nagy and a lot of praise for Mitch Trubisky. And they could have a good defense there. They've had a good defense the past couple of years. They're going to have a pretty good offense, I think, if we're to believe everything that we're hearing. If Trubisky can step up, Allen Robinson stays healthy. They have the rookie Anthony Miller, I hear good things about. They got Tariq Cohen, Trey Burton at tight end, And then Jordan Howard, that opens the door for more catches, more red zone opportunities for Jordan Howard. And I grabbed him in the second. Coming back around a few picks later in the third, I took T.Y. Hilton, who I was surprised was there. I'm not a big T.Y. Hilton guy. But I think if Andrew Luck is decent and stays healthy, I think T.Y. Hilton could be a steal there in the third round. He wasn't bad last year with Jacoby Brissett. And I think I'll have a little of a bounce back year this year. In the fourth round, I nabbed Mark Ingram, who is on a 4-game suspension. I think when he comes back, nothing is going to change from last year when him and Alvin Kamara, who's been going, you know, a surefire first rounder in every league, they're gonna split the workload there, and it's not gonna take away from each other because Kamara did what he did last year. And Mark Ingram had his first year. I don't even think he had 250 carries, but he had 1,200 yards. He set a career high with, I want to say, 58 receptions. Double-digit TDs the last few years. So, you know, we've seen Drew Brees not have to rely on the passing game last year especially. And I think they're going to kind of be the same again this year. So I nabbed Ingram. I thought it was a steal. I took Jimmy Graham in the fifth round. There were some tight ends available. Greg Olsen, Kyle Rudolph, Delaney Walker. I don't know. If Jimmy Graham can stay healthy, I think he's a guaranteed 10 touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers. And I can see the Packers lining him up everywhere. My next pick, I'm not going to go through every pick, but my next pick was Julian Edelman. And again, another guy serving a 4-game suspension to start the year off. When he gets back, he's going to pick up right where he left off in 2016 because he missed last year with a torn ACL. And this is a down year for heading into the year for Patriots receivers. No Amendola. You got Chris Hogan as the number one guy. They release Kenny Britt. They're going to have Gronk. But when, you know, no more Brandon Cooks. He was only there a year. So I think Edelman, the targets are going to be there. And, you know, again, it's all a question of injuries in fantasy football. So much is going to change. But really happy with the guys that I got there. I got Jamal Williams later, I think in the ninth round, which is a steal. I got Matthew Stafford in like the 13th round. I missed out on Jimmy G and a couple of my 49ers. But it was a pretty good draft. And this Monday, I have a Tommy Dreamer League draft. I'm going to try to get someone on to draft live and record it for this show. I did it last year in my OVW league, and I plan to do it there again. So I'm going to definitely do it in that OVW league with someone, you know, who I was very close with in OVW. I don't know who it's going to be yet, but it's a fun league. And Tommy is in that league as well. I'm going to try to get him on. I'm going to try to get someone on for each league. Because it was fun when we did it last year, and it made for a good listen, talking some wrestling, talking our picks, just talking some football. But for now, I've talked enough. It's time for Joey Ryan to talk some baseball. So here he is, Joey Ryan and myself, talking a little California Angels, Anaheim Angels, whatever you want to call them, and some MLB. Enjoy.
As you call them, they call you when they need some. Trees for the blunt, to G's for the front. I found a way to get peace of mind for years and left the hell alone. Turn a deaf ear to the cellular phone. Send me a letter or better, we can see each other in real life. Just so you can feel me like a steel knife. At least so you can see the white of their eyes. Bright with surprise once they finish spitting lies. Associates, is your boys, your girls, bitches, niggas, homies. Close, but really don't know me. Mom, dad, comrade, peeps, brothers, sisters, duns, dunnies. Some come around when they need some money.
Hi, I'm Johnny Bench, and I'm here with the only three players who have been on my baseball bunch team for all 5 years.
It's Antonio and
Gregory Polanco.
Bunch, there's somebody else who's supposed to be here.
Who's that, John?
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is Joey Ryan. You may remember him being body slammed upon Legos.
So, man, usually when a team is out of playoff contention, you kind of ask fans, you ask, you know, players ask themselves, you know, the organization, what happened. But I kind of think with the Angels, we know what happened, and it's injuries, and it's unfortunate. And we're not just talking a few injuries, we're talking a lot of injuries.
Yeah, most of the pitching staff. I mean, it's kind of crazy because they amped up on starting pitching because of the fact that they were going to have Ohtani go, you know, once a week rather than once every 5 days.
Right.
So they threw in an extra starter or two coming out of spring training just to get settled into that situation. And, you know, most of the starters they brought out of spring training, including Ohtani, have gone down with injury.
And now the coming into the year, the starting pitchers were injury prone to begin with. So we have Garrett Richards. Garrett Richards was the ace of the staff, a guy who I think I took in pretty much every fantasy league except my National League fantasy team, because I thought this was the year he was going to be healthy. He came back strong at the end of last year. And then now, again, last month, he gets shut down for Tommy John surgery. Andrew Haney and Tyler Skaggs, two other guys with injury histories. Skaggs, I believe, if he hasn't already, is about to come off the DL soon. But Haney's pitched pretty well this year and has been pretty injury prone. Was that kind of a surprise to you?
I mean, you're right. You know, like most of the staff that had to be concerned is the injuries, the injury history. But you know, like you never really know. You know, like there are guys who come back from injuries stronger, better than ever. So it's, you know, I mean, the hope was always there. You know, the hope that Garrett Richards would have stayed healthy, or, you know, the hope that Andrew Haney would have been, you know, not only healthy, but pitch well, which he has. But, you know, there's always, you can never tell, you know, obviously, you know, you hope for the best, but you never really know.
Right. And one guy, Jaime Barria, has come up, and I don't know if it's, you know, sometimes through injuries, through bad circumstances, you get to you kind of force up a player before maybe it's he's ready to be called up to the big leagues. But for a guy who's 21, 22, he's pitched pretty decent so far this year. They just called up Felix Pena last month. He's kind of been hit or miss, but not bad. I mean, what can... Looking at this, we're going to get to the hitters in a little bit, but looking at this starting staff, knowing that knowing that Richards is probably going to be out next year, and knowing that Ohtani, we don't know when he's going to pitch again, if he's going to pitch again. What, as an Angels fan, can you take away from this year going into next year with this starting staff, with this pitching staff in general?
Right. And you know, Pena did pitch well, like, so it would have been by the time I was going to say last night, but by the time this airs, it'll be, you know, Wednesday night. He pitched well. But he was facing the San Diego Padres lineup, which, you know, isn't the strongest.
Right.
A lot of the pitching, you know, that they've called up or they've had to rely on, or, you know, they're not, you know, like they've done well. I mean, they haven't been, you know, an unstoppable or unhittable staff, but I think they've stepped in and at least kept the team. I mean, right now, as of this recording, you know, 2 games over .500, which,
yep.
which is hard when you're, you know, when you've had, you know, 10, 12 different starting pitchers in a season. Yeah, I mean, going in next year, you know, it's weird because there's talk of, like, you know, Otani throwing again this year, which is, you know, like, kind of, it's like a double-edged sword because you're hopeful. You're like, okay, if he's well enough to pitch again this season, then, you know, he could be healthy going in, you know, by the time next season even starts. But at the same time, you're a little worried because you don't want them to burn him out on a season that's kind of thrown away at this point. Although I did mention two games over 500, and as of this recording, I'm a 3-game win streak. So, you know, that's the fanboy in me, though, being like, can we turn this thing around still? You know,
yeah.
But you don't want, like, on a season that might not, you know, that a season that might be thrown away, you want them to burn out Otani's arm.
Right. Yeah, I would not put him anywhere, especially in kind of a lost season. You hate saying it's a lost season because this team is fun to watch. This, when they're healthy, they're very fun to watch. And if a team that's going to finish around 500, man, you don't, a talent like that, no, you don't want to risk it. But there's a reason why Billy Epler is in the position he is in, and Mike Socha is in the position he's in. Mike Socha has been with the team 19 years, and that's a long time for any player. That's a long time. That's a eternity for a manager. There's talk that he might leave at the end of the year. Good move, bad move. Do you want to see some change? Do you want to see? He's a great, great baseball manager, Hall of Famer. I think between that and his playing career, when, you know, John Farrell won one with the Red Sox. But as a Red Sox fan last year, I was like, this team needs a change. Do you feel the same way with Socha and this team?
Yeah, it's like bizarre almost in this day and age. Like, no, like, Socha won a championship in 2002, and he's had, you know, 16 tries to repeat, which managers don't get. You know, managers, you know, at the most these days get about 5 seasons to repeat, maybe, if they're lucky. And if they don't do it, then they're usually, you know, there's usually a change. But with Socha, I think he's so involved in the organization, and, you know, not just as a manager, but, you know, in all facets of it, that even if he did step down from managing next year, I think this is his contract year for managing anyways, I think he'll end up in a front office position for sure. He'll stick with the organization. He's not gonna, and I think it'll be his decision too. I think, you know, he's got a bond with Artie Moreno, and and it's gonna be Socha's call whether he wants to manage again or if he wants to move into a different position. But I don't think he's going to leave the organization. And I don't foresee him, leaving the organization anytime soon. So he'll still have a role with the team. But, you know, who knows? You know, like, there's a lot of great managers out there that don't have jobs right now that maybe could step in and, like, refocus the team's energy, or, you know, you always want to, again, hope for the best. You never know until it's actually applied.
Right.
But you know, if fresh blood or whatever the cliche term is needed, or fresh eyes or whatever, you know, who knows? Maybe that's something that can spark the team. Maybe the team's complacent with Socha, although that doesn't seem like Socha style to let a team get complacent, but maybe they are. You know, you don't know. We're not in the clubhouse, so
right.
You know, who knows? Who? But I mean, I wouldn't. You know, I'm not necessarily against it or for it. I would. You know, obviously, I'm going to be with the team throughout. But it would be interesting. I would definitely, like, I mean, at the most, it would be, I guess, refreshing to see some changes. But like I said, I don't think Socha is going to go far from the position of manager, even if he doesn't manage.
Right. So I get the sense, kind of, if they brought in like an Alex Cora or kind of like an AJ Hinch or like a young guy who's like a quote unquote analytics favorite, as opposed, you would be excited bringing kind of like someone youthful as opposed to, you know, Joe Girardi's out there. And Joe Girardi's a great general manager, but I'm sorry, great manager. But to me,
right,
that would be like a lateral move. And going from Socha right. to Girardi, they both won World Series. They're both well-respected, both hard-nosed catchers. To me, it sounds like if they do make a change, you would kind of want to go with an Alex Cora type, like a young, enthusiastic guy for this team.
Right. And it's obviously up to the, you know, up to the front office and the management. And if, like I said, if Socha does move into a front office position, because it'll still be heavily influenced with his style of baseball. I mean, we saw that a few years ago when DePoto was the general manager and him and Socha butted heads a lot on things. Mm. And, you know, we saw who stuck around and who left. You know, we saw who, I guess, who Artie Moreto sided with. So, I you know, if they bring in the analytics guy and he tries to, you know, do more of the, you know, more baseball on those terms, if it's, you know, if it's resisted by, you know, the front office, or if it's, you know, like he might, like I wouldn't want a manager to come in that has all these ideas and then get handcuffed by
sure.
the front office.
Sure.
I'd rather a manager that works, that is complementary of the front office. So there's not internal turmoil.
Right. Yeah, that's important. I mean, we've seen it in the past with so many, you know, in all sports, and now everyone, you see it so much, especially in other sports where the, say football, where the general manager was the coach, and there are just too many clashes with the owners. And it seems, as you said, Socha and Moreno have a great relationship together. I think as an outsider, I think, you know, this play through this year, you're playing hard every night. Felix Pena, yeah, he did have, not to get off track here, no earned runs, 6 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts last night. Pitched pretty well, except for at the end of July against Seattle. He had that 7 earned runs in 1/3 innings pitched. So this team is scrapping, and whether they have, I think, whether this team keeps Socha or not, they're going to keep the attitude Socha has of scrapping and, you know, playing hard regardless of all the injuries they have. But if we get back to the injuries, it's kind of hard to, you can't really put a blame on Socha. You can't really put a blame on anybody. I mean, Mike Trout is out right now. Should be back at the end of, the 10-day DL stint. But I mean, Zach Cozart was on the DL. Otani was on the DL for a while. You've got, you know, which again has opened up spots for guys like Taylor Ward, who just got called up. Maybe the Angels' top prospect, a scrappy guy like David Fletcher, who I like, who has gotten some playing time. Maybe not a star, and maybe the people listening to this, you know, not a lot of people are going to know who he is, but, you know, he's a guy that I think it's fun to watch. And then Eric Young Jr. is back up on the team. You know, you've been decimated with injuries when Eric Young is back up on the team. Although he did a great job last year, and he's doing so far this year. He's got a couple steals.
He plays hard. He plays hard.
He plays hard, and that's excuse me for being long-winded here, but that's what I'm trying to get at, is these are young, scrappy players that are playing hard. And I got to believe, as an Angels fan and a lifelong Angels fan, you got to still love seeing guys like that play hard every day, knowing that, hey, maybe you can play a spoiler to Seattle or Oakland or even Houston now, who's only 2 games ahead of the A's.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they just had a series with the A's, and I mean, they lost 2 of 3 games, but the third game in the series came back. I mean, they came back from, I think, 8-2 deficit, and they lost 8-7. So, like, you know, it wasn't like they're just throwing in the towel there. They came close to taking two of three from the A's, and the A's are pretty hot right now, and you know, especially within their division. So I think that there's a bit of motivation there to play these, you know, the teams in their division, and you know, if it is as a spoiler, or you know, like these guys want to go and they want a reason to play, and like sure. You said, they want to work hard, and they want, you know, I mean, everybody does. Nobody plays baseball. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody, because I'm sure there is some guys out there who do, but the majority of players don't play because they want to be like, you know, middle of the road, just skating by.
Right.
You know, everybody wants to win. So, you know, and that's cool to see. I mean, like you said, guys like David Fletcher who aren't, you know, like maybe aren't stars, maybe never will be a star, but you know, you can see the fight in him, and you can get behind him, especially if he's on your, you know, your home team, or you're the team you root for. You know, he's a guy that you can get behind because you can see how hard he plays, and you know, he can be, you know, and he fits the mold of the team. You know, like, you know, it's very much, he's a very much a social style guy, where you know, he grinds out at bats, he bunts to get people over, he goes the other way, you know.
They play like a National League right. team, and they always have, right. which is, and I love that, because I love the Red Sox, but I cannot watch those 4.5-hour Yankee games, man. They're, unless it's in the postseason, yeah. I cannot watch the whole thing from beginning yeah. to end. And I love, you know, I love when West Coast baseball is on, because here it's on later. It's on at 10. It's on, you know, starts yeah. at 10. But the Angels, man, they're regardless of how good they are, they're fun to watch because of all the things you just said: bunting, hitting and running, sacrificing. They're because of that, they're gonna be scrappy, and they're gonna, especially in their division, they're gonna play this last month and a half, these last 40 games. They could play spoiler.
For sure. They can you know, like I said, they're not giving up on whatever it is. You know, they're gonna if it's ending the season over 500 and that's the goal, then they're going to pride themselves on that, and that they're going to do their best to achieve that. Like I said, right now they're two games. I don't know. By the time this airs, I'm not sure, but still yeah. will be the stat. But currently, as we're taping this, they are two games over 500, which is, you know, which is good, which is, you know, which is gives, I guess some like a goal, I guess, to the team, if that's what they, you know, if that ends up being what the goal is.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's got to be to play out. They're at Texas this weekend, so starting tonight as we tape this on Thursday. You know, that's a chance for them to get up, you know, another 2, 3, 4 games with a sweep. Texas not very good there on the bottom of the division in the West. One guy that who's almost had two seasons this year is Cole Calhoun. The first 2 months, I think up until the right around the All-Star break, this guy was hitting about, he wasn't just hitting around 200. He was hitting like .150. And then
right, real low.
Yeah, and then I mean, he's
lost his starting job.
Yeah, yeah.
Lost his starting job. I think he did. He was on the DL for a little bit too. But
yep.
But yeah, came back, changed his batting stance, changed his, I don't know, patience at the plate. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's possible for someone to get comeback player of the year in the same season, but if there was, you might get it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Second half.
Yeah, because I mean, it was.
It was bad. It was real bad.
It was bad, man. He was hitting .150, and then I think it was like he got up to .163, and I was like, Jesus, man. It was always a fun player to watch. He was a scrappy guy. He's a great
defender.
Yeah. Another guy who's been consistent all year though is Justin Upton, and this is a guy he got from Detroit last year. And I've always liked Justin Upton because he's not so much a speed guy anymore. But This guy has suddenly become kind of a staple of the organization. You signed him. He was a free agent last year. He re-signed for, I think it was 5 years, $70 million. You gotta love what he's doing.
Yeah, no, he's the first, permanent, I guess, left fielder we've had in years. I mean, obviously there was the Josh Hamilton fiasco, which
sure
didn't pan out too well. It's been kind of a revolving door in left field until last season when they got Justin Upton, and that felt like, it felt with him and Trout and Calhoun, we had an outfield. We didn't have a revolving door out there anymore.
Have gone from before that, it was a revolving door of Ben Revere, Daniel Nava, Craig Gentry, Howie Kendrick, one of my favorite. I always had a crush on Howie Kendrick for the way he played.
Yeah.
Vernon Wells, man, the Vernon Wells years.
Right.
David DeJesus. There's been a lot, and Upton has definitely solidified left field for the first time probably since Darren Erstad.
Right. But Upton was a good get. Now it's like, if pitching is what needs to be refocused because of the decimated staff or whatever it is, like outfield's taken care of, you know what I mean? Like it's, we have our outfield. So it's not a concern. Like every off season, it's always been like, every team's always like, pitching off season or whatever, like, or we need to bullpen or whatever. Like that's an every team thing. But the Angels for the past few seasons was like, we've also got this left field, this big hole in left field that we need to focus on too. So it kind of diverted the attention away from, maybe focusing on bullpen pieces or whatever the need may be as far as the staff goes. And obviously there's been a couple questions in the infield as well, but maybe with Taylor Ward, as you mentioned, getting the call up, if he can produce. I made this joke to.
And you,
I made this joke to my friend the other.
Oh,
the
go
other
ahead.
Day
go
about
ahead.
How I said I made this joke to my friend the other day about how Taylor Ward is wearing the Brandon Wood number 3.
Oh no!
Playing third base.
Oh no! Yeah,
let's hope for a better outcome.
Oh man, no. We've talked about Brandon Wood before, who was just every year, this is going to be the year Brandon Ward would break out. He was like the ultimate 4A minor league player because he was like a superstar in the minor leagues, and then
he had like A-Rod numbers in AAA.
At Salt Lake, he was Hank Aaron, and then when he got called up, he was Brennan Bosch, and it was
right.
But Taylor Ward, let's knock on wood that he can maybe solidify third base. The middle of the infield set, man. You guys got the best, probably the best defensive shortstop in Andrelton Simmons. And then, Cozart, if Cozart comes back, I don't think he's a free agent. But Cozart can play second.
I'm not entirely sure myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his natural position, right? Second base. They moved him to third to when they got Kinsler, I think.
Yep.
I think.
They did. Kinsler's gone now.
To Boston.
Yep.
So, the Fletcher's playing right now because I think Cozart's on the DL. But, second base could be Cozart's job. It might be a more comfortable fit for him.
Sure. We got a lot of listeners that love, maybe aren't huge baseball fans today, but whenever I talk about 80s baseball, 90s baseball, even though I'm a Red Sox fan, I love the Expos growing up. Let's go back a little here as we start to wrap things up and talk about some of your favorite Angels players and your favorite Angels memories growing up. Because everybody, we all have fondness for baseball. It's, we all remember, I'm a baseball person. I know you are a baseball person, and there's nothing like being a kid and collecting baseball cards and the old sticker books and playing Little League. And sure. Let's tap into those memories. Give me your Angel guys growing up, even into adulthood.
Yeah. So what's funny is, you know, I live in Los Angeles proper. And so I'm like 10 minutes from Dodger Stadium, but, for whatever reason, growing up, my dad was an Angels fan, not a Dodgers fan. You know, Angels Stadium's, you know, on a good traffic day, 45 minutes away, wow. You know, as opposed to Dodger Stadium, which is 10 minutes away, sure. You know? So it was just, you know, it seems like such a natural for like me to grow up a Dodger fan. But like I said, my dad was always an Angels fan. So, you know, that influenced me. And, you know, I remember him taking me to Angels games, and we would watch, you know, like Wally Joyner and Devon White and yeah. And, you know, all these Brian Downing, you know, we would, so there was so those guys always have a fondness because that's when, you know, my dad would take me to games, and we, you know, they were heavily influenced me becoming a lifelong Angels fan. Mm.
The original Lance McCullers.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Kirk McCaskill. Yeah. Chuck Finley. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those guys obviously, you know, always be near and dear to my heart. And then, you know, growing up, becoming more, you know, not becoming like a kid who marvels at baseball and baseball players in general, but becoming a diehard or a guy who pays attention to the details of the game, you know, was around the time, you know, of like Aaron Anderson and Tim Salmon and,
sure,
you know, obviously the big Angels favorites and, you know, and, you know, the 2002 team, you know, the Darren Erstads, the Adam Kennedys, the,
Troy,
you know,
Blouse.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, those guys. And then obviously continued on to like Torrey Hunter and Vladimir Guerrero. And then even to like, you know, today where it's, you know, Mike Trout, obviously. And, you know, and the team, and even Pujols, you know, like Pujols is grown on me. And, you know, I know a lot of people say, and maybe it is a bad, you know, bad deal for whatever the 10 years he got from the Angels, but, you know, there's his numbers.
His numbers are pretty good, and he's a good guy. He's a good teammate.
Right. He's a good, you know, you don't know the inner workings of his influence on, you know, on the up and like, you know, who knows who, I mean, you can't deny Trout's ability and Trout's talent, and he was going to get there anyways, but sure, you don't know the influence of someone like Albert Pujols on Trout that maybe helped him along the way.
Yep.
But yeah, and you know, his numbers are pretty consistent with power hitters in general. They're not Pujols-like, which is what the comparison is. You're comparing Pujols in his mid-30s to Pujols in his mid-20s.
Sure.
And that's not a fair comparison.
No.
But as far as power hitters go, his numbers are pretty consistent with the league. And you know, but he's getting paid, you know, which he earned. You know, he earned that money through his ability throughout his career.
Look at anyone listening to this right now. Go back and look at Albert Pujols' stats. He came in right in 2001 as a 21-year-old. We think.
don't get yourself in trouble like that. The Braves announcer who.
Good question.
Soto's age.
But he was 21 years old, and he just dominated. Like, you know, just for anyone listening, go look up his stats. Go look up his career stats. They are up there with you know, Babe Ruth. You know, seriously, they're up there with Babe Ruth, Ted Williams.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
That's not easy to do today. Especially in today's baseball, where a lot of those guys, a lot of the writers that vote for Hall of Fame don't vote for guys on their first year just because it's their first year.
Which is ridiculous.
It's a weird political thing. So yeah, to be a first ballot Hall of Famer is still something big, and he will for sure be one.
And you gotta be happy that Vlad went in for the first time. Well, it wasn't. I don't think it was his first year, but. I believe he's the first Angel in the Hall of Fame. Is that correct? I'm pretty.
Yeah, and you know what? And you know what? The thing about that too is that, like, that's awesome that he picked to go in as an Angel. And I don't know if being the first Angel to go in was motivation, or it's the fact that the Expos are a non-existent organization. Well, I guess they're the Nationals now, but you know what I mean? They're a non-existent organization now. Had anything to do with the decision. But you know, if Vladimir would have gone in as an Expo, even as an Angels fan, there's nothing I could really be like bitter about that. Like that would be an understanding choice.
Sure.
But the fact that he did choose to go in as an Angel, you know, and he had MVP season as an Angel. So I think, you know, he definitely had memorable seasons with the Angels.
Sure. One last quick thing here. What do you, maybe you don't even have an opinion, but guys like Barry Bonds, guys like Roger Clemens, who were, I'm not going to bring, say, a Palmeiro into this or certain other players, but say Barry Bonds and Clemens, these guys were Hall of Famers before they were even associated with steroids or PEDs. Do you think do you believe they should be in the Hall of Fame? Do you believe they shouldn't? Are you indifferent?
It's so difficult because, like, I might be a bit of an apologist, and it could be like the fact that I'm in pro wrestling and that stuff's been rampant, you know, in my industry for so many years that I don't really look at it as cheating. But it's not cheating in pro wrestling because I guess we are competing with each other for jobs, not
sure,
for
sure.
stats. But here's the thing that, you know, like, you know, when I was growing up, guys like McGuire and Canseco were like, man, they were like larger than life to me. And like, they were like pro wrestlers to me,
yep.
you know, like,
yep.
And so like, I always have a, I guess like, a nostalgia for them, you know, like, and even furthermore, like, in, you know, after whatever the strike of 94 or whatever, when like nobody wanted to watch baseball anymore. And then McGuire and Sosa brought kind of everyone back to it. And now they're kind of being like used as like scapegoats for that era when it was like, I mean, there's no proof of it, but it was likely encouraged at the time because of the fact that they needed to bring the fans back.
Yeah.
Encouraged by who or what, who knows, but I don't think that, I don't think that the home run race between McGuire and Sosa that seemed to drive everyone back into baseball was an uncalculated move. Let's just say. So, and I feel like now they're, you know, that now that that's, you know, now that all that information's out there, now they're being kind of like shunned. And not that McGuire or Sosa are Hall of Famers or have Hall of Fame numbers, but as far as like the history of baseball goes, those guys were big, you know, and those guys brought attention to the game. And kind of, like I said, I feel like baseball after the strike was kind of like not dying, but you know, it was like, it needed a boost.
Yeah.
It needed a draw.
Yeah.
Right? It needed its Hulkamania, you know, and I think it got its Hulkamania through, McGuire and Sosa, which I think they should be recognized for. You know, again, I don't know if it's, you know, they call it the Hall of Fame. They don't, you know, they don't call it the Hall of Good or whatever. So like, and those are two of the most famous baseball players there are. So maybe I'm a bit of an apologist for that. And you know, going on
no.
to guys like Bonds and Clemens who do have Hall of Fame numbers, before, during, after.
Clemens had three Cy Youngs before he was with the Red Sox, before he even went to Toronto or the Yankees. Bonds had two MVPs.
Right.
Maybe he had three MVPs, because I know he won in 91 and – no, he won in 90, 92, and 93. So, yeah, it's
It just – it becomes like a moral issue then. It's like if the fact that they were – if people feel like they – despite the numbers they had before, that they still decided to cheat the game.
Sure.
You know, so it's such a hard line because it's like those guys were so good for the game and those guys were such mega stars. And, you know, the fact that that people are deeming that they don't have a place in the history, and it's, you know, it's, I mean, obviously the Hall of Fame is a very respected thing and it's not easy to come by, but those guys are some of the best and
history
most well known.
History can't be right. rewritten without them. So
right, and it's not like if you put them in the Hall of Fame now, it affects. You know, the Hall of Fame is a museum. It's a historical monument.
Sure.
So it doesn't affect the current game if you recognize guys who played during that era.
Right. Very well said. Very well said. I agree. I agree with you. And slowly they're inching up. I think they got like in the high, 59% or something like that. So I think those two guys will be in eventually, Bonds and Clemens.
Right.
Joey, man, you're everywhere. You are here talking sports. You are all over the independent scene. You are all over the pro wrestling landscape. Where can people find you coming up live? And where can people, listeners, readers of The Observer, find you on social media?
Well, it's kind of the same answer for both, actually, because, I do have a pretty full schedule, and and I keep my schedule updated on my social media, which is either Facebook. If you search for Joey Ryan, I'm probably the only wrestler, the only verified wrestler, anyways, under Joey Ryan on Facebook, and I keep my schedule pinned to the top of my page. I also tweet my dates out at Joey Ryan online or at Joey Ryan on Instagram, and I make sure to promote all the places I go to because I want people to come out and see the show. I want people to come out and say hi and meet everyone. So that's probably the best way to follow me is just to find me on social media and then kind of pay attention to when I post my dates in the flyers and the advertisements for the shows.
Awesome, man. Joey, you're a busy guy. I appreciate you taking the time. The listeners appreciate you taking the time. And, hey, here's to the Angels finishing the season strong, and here's to 2019. Every year I get a text from Aaron Aguilera that says the following. It's this year it's going to say Anaheim Angels 2019 World Series champs. So
yeah.
So who knows?
Well, he's a diehard as well.
He is. He's a diehard. Frankie is as well, who I've had on the show.
Yep.
So you guys got a lot to root for coming up. So we're going to talk in better times, definitely. So
well, thanks for having me again.
You got it, bud. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, Joe. Bye. Taking this worldwide.
Watch the stormtroopers swarm. The Death Star's more than the devilish dawn. It's where evil and the Force manifest their form. It's no good without bad and no night without war. It's relativity, valid stability. It's creating
Joey Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, there he is. Probably never heard him talk sports, talk baseball before, but there it is. We did it. A different side of Joey Ryan. I had him on the show last year, before I came to the Observer site with this show. And so this is the second time I had a chance to talk with Joey. I always love talking, sports with him. Don't see him on many shows, but when we do, we always catch up and, shoot the shit about what's going on in MLB. And we'll text here and there about the Anaheim Angels, whatever the fuck they're called. I don't know. The Angels. I really enjoyed that chat and I hope you did too. I will be getting a text, at the end of the regular season from one Aaron Aguilera saying 2019 Los Angeles Angels World Series champions. It happens every year except for 2002, but I didn't know him back then. So it doesn't really count. Also, I went to my first Angels game, 2013 with Aaron Aguilera, aka Jesus, aka the Hardcore Kid, aka Barabbas, when we were in All Japan together, aka Barabbas. He was Barabbas in OVW for like a week. He was Zodiac in All Japan. That's what he was. He was with the Voodoo Murders. whatever you want to call him, Aaron Aguilera, a great guy, great friend of mine, and another big Angels fan who is very disappointed this year. One thing that you guys are not disappointed in was the Marco Stunt episode, which came out earlier this week. This kid literally just blew up and took the wrestling world by storm within, you know, a few days, pretty much overnight, literally. Last Friday, Game Changer Wrestling blew up on social media. And we talked about it. We talked about his incredible journey, not so much about sports, a little bit about his athletic background growing up. We talked some video games, and then we just spoke about his journey and just the amazing last week that this kid has had. And I got some really good feedback on that, and I'm glad to bring you guys like that that you don't maybe know about, but hopefully when you listen to the show, now you do. Bring in people like Joey Ryan, who you're used to seeing do certain things with parts of his body, you know, or lick lollipops, or just entertain you, whatever show he's on. He's awesome. I love Joey. He's entertaining, and, you know, he's not everybody's cup of tea, but as Dr. Tom Pritchard once told me, wrestling is ice cream. Everybody's got a different flavor, and there's a lot of different flavors of ice cream I like when it comes to wrestling, and Joey Ryan is one of those. And I'm glad that, you know, you guys get to watch him in the ring and do his thing, and now you get to hear him here talk about baseball, talk about different things. You get to, or you will, become familiar with Marco Stunt. He's going to be on the All-In card in the Over Budget Battle Royal, and you get to know him here a little bit, and I'm glad I can bring that to you. If there's people out there that you want to hear, that you want to hear talk sports, or just hear, you know, just randomly shoot the shit about video games or hip-hop or toys or whatever, let me know. Hit me up here on the board at the Wrestling Observer, or go on my Twitter at Promise Thomas or at Retro Grappler. Let me know who you want to hear, topics you want to talk about, sports you want to hear discussed and spoken about. Also, go to my Pro Wrestling Tees store at prowrestlingtees.com/Promise Thomas. And I want to say thank you for tuning in again. I always get some very positive feedback from you listeners here, and I want to thank you for tuning in here on The Observer, giving you my flavor of ice cream here on The Observer. We got a ton of different shows here, and everyone is different, and I'm glad I can carve out a little niche here on this website that has welcomed me with open arms. We are going to have Vinny on soon. Do not worry. We are lining that up right now. I got some other cool guests that I am working on. I recorded a toy chat a few weeks ago that I'm going to have to re-record with someone who is very popular on this website and his tag team partner. So I'm going to get that out to you hopefully by next week. But until then, enjoy this show with Joey Ryan. And thank you for tuning in. Until we speak again, I'm Antonio the Promise Thomas, saying see ya.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. In the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you'd like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, escape.
know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Yes, I like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. I'm not much into health food. I am into champagne. I've got to get you by tomorrow noon and cut through all this red tape. I knew a smile in an instant. I knew the curve of her face. It was my own lovely lady. And she said, oh, it's you. Then we laughed for a moment. And I said, I never knew that you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain and the feel of the ocean.
All right, we are going out to wrestling, not WWE level wrestling. That you better have a day job level of wrestling. Now, this is Joey Ryan. You may remember him being body slammed upon Legos.
Oh, this is old video. This is where he gets the Legos, right? Or is this?
Yeah, it's the Legos.
Oh, that's the Legos. Yes,
so the most painful Legos ever.
Yes. So that, well, that couldn't have felt good. And what's the new video we've got on Joey Ryan?
Hollywood Joey Ryan, apparently.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that's a new high and a new low. Yeah, it's both of them. The answer to the question is both.
I just want to know whose idea that was. Like, who came up with this is going to be
not the blonde guy. We can agree on that, right? It wasn't the idea of the blonde guy. That is a new low for the blonde guy.